If you will turn in your hymnal to page 752 for the responsive reading of Psalm 22, and it continues on page 753. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you, the praise of Israel, are enthroned in holiness, and your forbearers trusted. They trusted you that delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make fun of me. They wag their heads. He committed his cause to the Lord. Let the Lord deliver him. Let the Lord rescue him, for the Lord delights in him. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe upon my mother's breast. Upon you I was cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a post herd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. Lay me in the dust of death. Indeed, dogs surround me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them. For my raiment, they cast lots. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who worship the Lord. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations shall worship before the Lord. For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over all the nations. All who sleep in the earth shall bow down to the Lord. All who go down to the dust shall bow before the Lord, and I shall live for God. Posterity shall end the Lord. Each generation shall tell of the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn. And the Lord has done it.
The Hebrew Bible reading for today is Genesis 17, verses 1 to 7 and 15 to 16, which is found on page 12 in your pew Bible. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face. And God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations, Kings of people shall come from her. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn to the epistle now, the letter of Paul to the church at Rome. Romans 4, verses 13 through 25. As always, I encourage you to follow along if you are a visual learner like I am, and that can be found on page 145 in your pew Bible, or you can find it if you brought your Bible. I hope you did. This is a follow-up, Paul interpreting, in fact, the scripture that Kevin just read. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses, and was raised for our justification. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now let us turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. You can find this in the Pew Bible on page 41 in the New Testament. Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I got to tell you, this is a hard lesson in a hard season. When you take it seriously during Lent, it is likely difficult to hear Jesus say to you, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." But if you do, in fact, take the challenge of Lent seriously, you really must wrestle with the meaning of those words in your life. What does it mean when Jesus tells you to deny yourself and to take up your cross to follow him? Well, Jesus clearly understood that he would die on a Roman cross through crucifixion. He had just foretold these events to his closest followers, and he had just rebuked Peter for arguing against him. "Get behind me, Satan, for you're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Jesus knew that indeed he would suffer, die, be buried in a tomb, and rise again 3 days later. And after having shared this with his disciples and rebuked Peter, Jesus called out to the crowd surrounding him so that all would hear him. "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and to forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of God will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Let us consider what Jesus is saying to you when we read these words today. Some people hear these words of denying yourself and taking up your cross, and they believe that Jesus is encouraging us to seek out suffering. Jesus knew that he was going to be publicly humiliated, that he would be tortured and crucified in unimaginable pain and die the death of a common criminal. Does Jesus mean that suffering for its own sake is good and holy, and that you ought to emulate this pain and misery? I think not. Later in the story, we will read about Jesus and his disciples when they go to the garden at Gethsemane. You probably remember this part of the story. Jesus is praying fervently to his Father in heaven, asking that if it be so, that this cup might pass from me. As Jesus continues praying, he comes to the faithful conclusion that it is a question not of his will, but rather the Father's will that must be followed. Think about the words that you pray on automatic pilot when you recite the Lord's Prayer. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus is saying that just as he must go through this time of trial, just as he must literally deny himself and pick up his cross and carry it to his death on Calvary, just as he must follow the will of God Almighty for his life, each of us must also follow God's will for our own life. Through whatever difficult situations that may lead you, you must follow God's will for your life. Listen also attentively to the words that Jesus has for Peter. "You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." During this time of Lent, many of us are confronted with our own mortality. You may well be thinking about the precious gift of life, about the short time that you have left on this earth, about the true meaning of your life and whether once you die, your life will account for something, that it will have some kind of meaning, that you will have made a difference. These questions are natural as we get older. Natural, but certainly not easy. Jesus doesn't pull any punches. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? If all you do is think only about yourself and your family, if you respond primarily to the American dream and the call of consumerism, if you are successful in the eyes of the secular world, but have not followed Jesus and have not followed God's will for your life, what do you really have? Nothing. Consider the story of Abraham and Sarah from Genesis and the explanation we get from Paul in his letter to the Romans. Even though Abram was 99 years old and his wife Sarai was barren, God made this amazing covenant with them. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God made this amazing promise to Abraham and Sarah, not because they were strict followers of the law, but because they had faith in God. Hoping against hope, Abram believed that he would become the father of many nations. According to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was capable of doing what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. The lesson of all this for you is this: there is no point in simply following God's laws in a legalistic manner, but rather you should follow Christ and allow the Spirit to strengthen your faith and respond to God's love in kind. So here's a very specific illustration for you. Jesus tells us to be generous and to support the ministries of the church in order to further the kingdom of God. The Bible instructs us that a faithful response to God's love is to give back a tithe, a full 10% of all that you have and all that you are back to God, who is the benefactor of your very life. But it is so easy to fall into the pattern of the secular world, to look out for number one, to be fearful that there will not be enough money for you and your family, and to spend your discretionary income on cable TV and internet service and eating out and fancy coffee and horse races, designer clothes, or any number of those luxuries that you might decide to spend your money on. Is it at all possible that you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things? But if you were to trust fully in God, to be convinced that God is able to do what has been promised, then you would have faith in our work here at Burns Church. You would give back to God what it is already God's in the first place. You would have faith that your tithe will help us to change lives in the name of Jesus Christ. That together we will continue to make disciples of Christ for the transformation of our world. None of us has a clue about the future of Burns Church or about the future of the United Methodist Church, but we are investing in the process of missional church, experimenting with how we might join God's work in our neighborhoods and local communities. Step out in faith and commit to giving 10% back to God. My sisters and brothers, Jesus is saying to you, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Take up your cross in faith and follow Jesus. Amen.